Steve and Jill here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Putella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to raise capital and how not to. Seems like a simple topic, doesn't it?
It does. But this is something that hangs people up.
Yeah, sure.
They're really worried about
this. It ties into yesterday's show about
it. It kind of does. Like, I've got these deals. What do I do? Or I'm afraid to even send it out because I don't have the money. What do I do?
It's a hard thing to get over. It was a hard thing for me to get over a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. We can help.
Yeah. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Aristeo asks, howdy, folks. I have a signed purchase agreement in East Texas on a 4.25 acre piece of property with good dirt road access. It's off a major highway. I have to verify the exact location of the parcel given... Oh, interesting. Title Pro 24/7 and parcel factor showing different parcel locations. I can tell you why in a second.
This is very common.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. I think this parcel would make a great mobile home lot, etc. for someone, or perhaps even establishing a small farm. The gentleman is elderly. An elderly man has been paying taxes on his deceased grandmother's lot for years. The other family members, uncles, aunts, etc. never wanted to contribute or pay for the taxes. We've tried asking this gentleman for any other possible heirs, however he states, they've all passed away. I'm considering doing quite a title on this property if I can at least double my offer price. That means to sell. So $11,465. Indeed, I've been told I priced this mailer high, was the after cost. Most folks will leave this parcel alone. I think there's a lot of opportunity for those with those patients to tackle these. Any suggestions or advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. And then P.S. The seller also states he has two other properties in New Mexico he's needing to sell. My hope is I can tackle those as well. Incidentally, the property is zoned commercial vacant. Not sure if it makes it difficult to build on.
Makes it easier.
Yeah. There are farms in the area, so I'd be surprised if there is an issue. I have another signed offer with the same zoning closer to town, but densely covered in trees. Okay, so we're going to jump in real quick here, and I'll put what Kevin put first, and then we'll add our comments.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Kevin, our moderator.
Yep. So Kevin already wrote in and said, Aristeo, I assume that the property is not in the seller's name. So quiet title will cost about $2,000 to $3,000 and take about 3 months. In 3 months, you could have done at least six more deals. I would only consider this if the comp value was $50,000 or more. Go for low-hanging fruit. Work smarter, not harder. And I really love that.
When has Kevin ever given bad advice?
I know.
Not Kevin's once that
really
I can think of.
This. Exactly. I love it. So, two things I want to tackle. One is just for members out there listening or anyone who's looking at GPS coordinates, the GPS coordinates that are in Title Pro 24/7 or Agent Pro, I don't know if it gets it, but I don't think GPS come in Agent Pro. We use Title Pro, and that's the reason why, one of the reasons why. It gives you the center point. So you don't really know if it's a center of 40 acres, right? You got to figure that out. So in parcel fact, you have the whole thing, and that's why it's different. If you take a step back and look at them on the map, you'll see. Then the second thing is, yeah, there's ways to do this, like Kevin was saying. And it makes sense if there's a big dollar amount. You know, it's really got to be worth your time and your energy because it's going to take that long to do. And I'm lately, especially with the transactions we do, gosh, it's not an easy slam dunk. I'm what I do is I push it down on the list, and you realize it's down the list so far, you never even look at it again.
Yep.
There you go. And you end up doing the other ones that are ready to go right now. Good people, mom and dad are alive, happy to sign. Let's get this done.
If you have any type of job that where you deal with the public or you deal with a customer, you know this, like you're going to laugh when I say this. There's easy, pleasurable customers, and there's ones that are just high maintenance. Like here's example of a bartender. Guy walks up to the bar, looks at the bartender and says, I'll have scotch on the rocks. Sure thing. That's the whole transaction. woman walks up to the bar, looks at the bartender and says,
why a woman?
Well, hold on. Because it's typically, this is how I see it sometimes. Okay, you know what?
I've seen others.
Guy number two walks up to the bar.
Thank you.
Looks at the bartender and says,
I had a bad day. What do you recommend?
Do you have, I don't know. I feel like maybe tequila? No. I'll have a rum and... do you have Coors Light? Yeah, bartender says. Yeah, we have Coors Light. Oh, good, okay. I'll have a... IPA then. So it's the exact same way with land. This guy, he has a grandmother and a bunch of drama surrounding this property. He's got all kinds of people involved that don't want to pay the taxes until it gets sold, then they want a piece of it. So it's just like that. And what Kevin's really saying about the low-hanging fruit here is, if this bartender that I just mentioned could take all the out of these people and just deal with the people that know exactly what they want and then sit there and quietly and enjoy it and pay for it, then wouldn't the world be a better place? It's just like deals.
I wrote, here's what I did. This is funny. I put deal drama with a circle and a line through it. That's it. No deal drama. No deal drama.
I know people in our group, I'm not going to name any names.
Uh-oh.
Who create their own deal drama.
Oh, that's very true. I know.
They like it.
I can think of a few.
They want to know they want to get to know the person who they're buying and selling this property from. It's part of what they like. It's part of what they like about doing deals.
And that's okay.
And so those are not the people that are going to make a ton of money in this. They might make a living at it. That's what a real estate agent does. Nice. They sit and listen and talk about window treatments and drama. I mean, if you want to do that, go be a real estate agent. I can't stand this kind of drama. I've got a situation where my grandmother's got this and the thing's going on over here. And no, just buy the piece of real estate and sell it.
Yeah, I like that. I appreciate where you're going with this, and I understand you're trying to solve this guy's problem. He has several of them. So really, I would take a step back. I would look at them all, do the math, and see if it makes sense. That's right. It. Say there's five of them, and you stand to yield over $100,000 by the time it's all done. All right. Maybe.
Adverse possession only works because all these people are going to get notified. If they theoretically have an interest in the property, they're going to get directly notified by the person who's processing the adverse possession action. It's actually a court lawsuit. And so are they going to just throw it away and say no, or write it right back and say, no, I don't have interest in this property? Absolutely not. They're all going to step up and say, if I can get $25 out of this thing, where do I sign?
Right.
So adverse possession really, really works well. You didn't hear this from me. All the people are dead.
Yeah.
Today's topic, how to...
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that so nonchalantly, like, all right, moving on. I hope they're all dead. Moving on.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting about this show? We've been doing this for years now, you and I.
I know.
How often we exchange roles. You know, there's good cop, bad cop.
That's very true.
And there's some stuff that just sets me off. And good, luckily for us and our listeners, the stuff that sets you off is different than mine.
True.
So I can be the comic relief sometimes, and you can.
That's very true. This is so funny.
Today's all topic. Right.
Wow. If you're still with us.
How to raise capital and how not to. This is the meat of the show. I'm a huge fan of raising capital deal by deal. So here's a perfect raising capital situation that I believe that most new people don't know about. I send a mailer out. I get a predictable response. And there's a couple of properties that come back. I offer $22,000, let's say. We're working with a group that's sending out offers that we know they can't afford right now. This is a real situation at all. Like, and they know that either, and they're relying on us.
Right.
And so they're sending out offers for 5 to 40 to 68 acre properties that are, you know, they're sending them out for like 20 to 25,000. I know for a fact, I helped them with the mail, that these properties are worth 80 to 100 grand. So, but if you're brand new and you don't have us and you're doing the same type of mailer, here's how you raise capital on a deal. You send out a mailer. You get the predictable results. Let's say it's $20,000 for a $100,000 property. Slam dunk. You know that's the case. And you get the signed purchase agreement back, and you open escrow, and the seller really wants to sell. And so then there's this staring in the mirror moment that you have, like, I don't have this $20,000. But I kind of knew that going in. But I do have a property that I know I'm going to buy for $20,000 or $30,000. I don't know what the numbers that I said. $20,000 or $30,000, it's worth 100.
I zoned out too.
Here's what you do to raise cap. What?
Nothing. Sorry. I zoned out on the numbers too.
I
want to
laugh with you.
I zoned out on the numbers too. You're like, what number did I say? I'm like, I don't know. I already forgot too.
You have two choices at this point because you know it's a good deal. You can go try to find a money partner in our group or on Land Tank or, you know, however, there's a lot of different outlets. Deal Board. We talked about Deal Board with Aaron earlier this week. And you can post it and say, I got this great deal. It's worth 100 grand. I got it under contract for 20. Seller really needs to sell. There's no drama like our earlier caller or writer. Or you can market the property, find a buyer, or get a rational response. Let's say you post the property at a certain place. You got 10 people that want to buy it. Let's say it's just even Craigslist. You got a tremendous amount of response on reaction. Me as an investor, I'm going to be a lot happier about fronting this money for you if you've got a pool of buyers that are ready to go.
Right.
So it's not just, here's what I see new people doing. Please, if you please listen to this. If you didn't listen to any other part of the show, listen to this one. Take it the extra mile. I see there's a whole concept out there of dropping stuff on someone else's desk once you think you've done your job. And so I see a lot of people who are trying to raise capital, deal capital specifically, at this very point. They don't do the Craigslist thing. They're very confident it's worth $100,000. They have it under contract. They don't want to do the work. For whatever reason, they just want to go do the fun stuff on the front one, on the next one. And so they drop it on deal funding for Jill. They don't really give ample information. They haven't really tried to sell it. For some reason that they're not interested in doing that. They know they just kind of cut off there. They lose interest. That's not, you did, I mean, just take it home, drive it home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the guy around third.
Right.
So that's one way. Here's what you don't want to do when you're brand new. And I've seen people do this. I'm not going to name any names, but it almost always ends in a fiery ball of tragedy. Don't want to go raise $250,000 or some number and then start to send your mail out and run your company like a private equity group would do.
Right.
On a startup, or let's say a startup equity company would throw a bunch of money at it. Let's say you've got some experience, throw a bunch of money. Here's your salaries, have at it. Make sure it's profitable in a year. This is not set up for that at all.
Yeah.
And you're going to fail.
Exactly.
Because if you're super experienced, like, because people come to us like all the time because we're super experienced with this. We got a rap sheet that you can't believe. It's fantastic. They constantly want to throw startup capital at us, and we constantly say no.
That's not how we roll. Exactly. But if you want to fund this or that, we can look at it that way.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Or we'll seek financing for a line. Like, we're doing infill lots for mobile homes right now with an incredibly experienced partner. And, you know, people are throwing money at us. Between our land buying expertise and that person's mobile home infill lot development expertise, we're not going to miss anything.
Right.
So for us, that's the right way to raise capital. Mm-hmm. But for you, unless you have 10 or 15 years of experience, the right way to do it is to find a great deal, make sure it works, get a buyer base somehow, and you want to go to your money person and say, you know what? I do this deal myself. I have the seller. I have the buyer. I'm happy to split it with you because I just don't have the dough.
Right.
That's the sentence that every money person wants to hear.
Ding, ding.
Is that the whole show?
That's the whole show. And that's what I look for, by the way. People were asking me, what do you guys look for when you do your Land Academy deal funding? Exactly this. Like, I am out of cash and we can't let this go. Jill, look at this. I got these three guys lined up. They're chomping at the bit.
Yep.
We need to lock this down so we don't lose a deal. And we need to like close on it tomorrow.
That's it.
You know, kind of thing. Cause I need to, so no one's going to get it but me. And then we're going to turn around and sell it to these guys and it's going to happen fast. Done. I can't write a check fast enough.
I agree.
Thank you.
Join us next time for an episode called Our Multi-Million Dollar Urban Los Angeles Mailer, an interview with Jill DeWitt.
Ooh. And we answer your questions posted on our online community found at landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I got to tell you this funny story about this LA Mailer thing, unless you have something about today.
No, go ahead.
So my assistant, my staff, is constantly bugging me because we're behind in our go-forward mailers for Los Angeles.
Oh.
And I finally told them today, because they don't know this. They're the technical people who get the mail out. And I said, look, we've got, I think, 15?
20.
Really, it's 20
Seriously,
now?
Seriously, I got 20.
We have 20. We did a 17,000 unit mailer, and we'll talk all about it tomorrow.
And we are 1, 2, 3, 4, Thursday. Mail hits Saturday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 5 days in.
Jill, I'm trying to think back.
I got 20 deals that are good that we're reviewing right
now. These are multi-million dollar
deals. And some are two deals. It's like, I got this one and this one.
We'll talk about
this one, this one, and this one.
I don't remember.
It's huge.
Ever having a successful mailer like this. Like, I mean, as successful. Every mailer I've ever sent out, with the exception of one, at least generates something. But I don't remember this kind of
volume of...
Well, just this intelligent response, like,
you know,
there's very... The hate is kind of pretty low. It's hate,
oh, but no, it's there.
All right, you know what?
We'll talk about it tomorrow. The Land Academy Daily Show remains commercial-free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.